PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk America. Thanks for being with us, and this is a special day. It's a special day for a lot of reasons. It's August the 21st, 2017, and in addition to it being a really, really good day for women's golfers, the ones that participate in the Solheim Cup, and to one Henrik Stenson and to J.J. Henry, and we'll tell you why for different reasons. It's a good day for all those people. It's also the eclipse that everybody's been talking about forever. It's finally here. It'll be starting any time now that we're on the air. So it is significant in a lot of reasons beyond just the golf world. I'm Tim Matthews, as I said, and Frank Bassett joins us from the Nashville studios. Bob Butko will be joining us here from the Grill Room. He's the host of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. He'll be with us here momentarily as soon as I say hi to Frank. How you doing today, Frank? Nashville, right in line of the total eclipse coming right across Nashville.
I can't wait.
Big day there, Frank.
Yeah, can't wait. This town is jumping. It is crazy. It's full. 250 miles around. Everything's full. And the most exciting part of this is I can't wait to see the corona while I'm holding a corona.
I was going to say a different kind of corona, but yeah.
That's right.
You're always excited about a corona.
Yeah, man. This is going to be really cool.
That's what you see around the sun, the framing, if you will, when the moon passes in front of the sun. It'll happen in Nashville. You guys will see pretty much a total eclipse of 98%, something like that.
No, we get 100.
Here in Dallas area.
Yeah, we get 100%.
100? Okay.
Yeah. We're totally
here
totally
in Dallas,
eclipsed.
It's like 80% or 78% or something like that. So we'll see enough. As far as I'm concerned, it's good enough for me.
Yeah,
it's not heavy. Nothing else earth shattering. But I'm excited about it.
This is for you and Bob. Do you know why the sun quit college?
No, why?
Because it already had a million degrees.
Okay. Hey, Bob, I hate to tell you that you have to follow that one up, but let's bring in Bob Bupka, host of the Grill Room. Hopefully you got a better joke than that one, Bob, for us.
Well, I tell you what, I've come in behind some warm-up bags, but maybe none as poor as that one. We have an opportunity today probably to make some radio history, guys.
Yeah?
We're starting out in the daylight. It'll go dark, it'll get daylight again, and we'll still be talking. I mean, that's a long show.
That's a long, long show. That was Frank's tribute to Jerry Lewis,
It was.
Is that your comedic tribute?
You know what? Okay. I was about to say that. Actually, it was. Jerry Lewis passed away yesterday. God bless his family and his soul. He was an incredible philanthropist, and among other things, he was just great at everything he did.
And he also had his name, we've talked about this before, on a golf tournament. It seemed like at some point every celebrity had their name on a golf tournament at some point to help raise money. He, of course, raised an awful lot of money for muscular dystrophy, over $2 billion. But he did have the Jerry Lewis golf tournament for a long, long time as well. So, but he was 91, had a good life. That's a good, long life. I'd kind of like to get to 91 myself at some point.
Ain't happening for you, pal.
No, you don't think so?
No.
Hey, Bob, you are joining us, I assume, from your home in Texas. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're back finally after a long, long trip where we left about the 20th of June, somewhere around there, and did the, you know, that was right on the heels of coming back from Erin Hills doing the U.S. Open. Then went to New York for a little rest and relaxation, then over to Birkdale, and then back to New York, and then down to the PGA Championship, and now finally home. So it feels good. You know, the older you get, obviously the tougher the trips come. And getting back to Jerry Lewis, I certainly would like to congratulate the work that he did. I mean, he was phenomenal on stage, in the movies, everywhere. But the amount of money that he raised certainly was incredible, as you said, Tim.
Yeah.
$2 billion. I mean, that's remarkable. I never did get to meet Jerry Lewis, but I did get to play 18 holes of golf with Dean Martin. So that was quite
cool.
An experience.
Yeah. Tell us about that experience. How did that happen, Bob?
Well, actually, I was out in Las Vegas, and a friend of mine told me to go to the pro shop at the Desert Inn. The head pro there was a friend of my friend. So I walked in. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, and introduced myself, and we talked about our mutual friend. And then he said, you wouldn't want to play some golf this afternoon? And I said, well, maybe. He says, yeah, well, you can be our fourth. And I said, who are we playing with? He said that he was going to play, that Dean Martin's personal assistant was going to play, and that Dean Martin was going to play. So but quite frankly, thought he was kidding. I came back at the appropriate time and saw somebody standing on the putting green, and you know, none other than Dean Martin. I walked over and introduced myself, and he said, what are you doing in town, boy? And I said, I'm here on my honeymoon. He took one look, and he said, honeymoon? He says, I bet when you go to the beach, you bring a bucket of sand with you. Then he promptly asked my wife to ride in the golf cart with him, and I didn't see neither of them for the next 5 hours.
So it was that's not
a pretty interesting experience, but he did provide tickets to his show that night. We were sitting right down front, and a really, really special guy. And I'll tell you, golf fans, he loved his golf. I mean, you know, obviously the stick was for him to walk out on the stage and make believe that he had been drinking all afternoon. I knew for a fact he'd been playing golf all afternoon. But he truly, truly loved it, played as many days as he could possibly play. And it was the side of him that really never was discussed. I mean, always the, you know, the drunk, the singer, everything, but very rarely did they talk about him being the golfer. And he certainly loved it.
Oh, that was cool. Great.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
a great story.
That was very neat to be able to play with Dean Martin. We're joined by Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room, which you can listen to on TuneIn Radio. Hey, Bob, the things I was mentioning before about the big day for a lot of different people, including the women, congratulations to the U.S. women winning the Solheim Cup rather handily, 16.5 points to 11.5 points up in Des Moines at Des Moines Country Club over the weekend. And so a big, big match for the U.S. women, and a great effort by all the women that that played in that, and congratulations to them. Also, we're talking about the fact that Henrik Stenson is a happy guy because he was going to be in the FedEx Cup playoffs anyway. He started the Wyndham Championship in 75th place, but he moved all the way up to 23rd with his win. He had a 22-under final round, or final score with a 64 in his final round, beat Ollie Senderjans by one shot. And the other guy's J.J. Henry, and that's because J.J., that was the final tournament before the playoff start, J.J., made the big move, and the number was 125 that everybody had to get to try to be in the playoffs, and that was the number. And JJ had a very good final round and was really happy with his final round, but he had to sit around and wait for everybody else to finish. He shot a 67, and he was up and down. He went to 127. They kept showing the projected finish where he would be, and finally got right to the number at 125, and he's the last guy in, if you will, at 125 to make it into the playoffs by 1 point over Zach Blair. 2,504 points to 2,505 points for Zach Blair. So a tough day for Zach Blair. But my point, my question, Bob, is there's as much pressure, I think, in this Wyndham Championship because of what we just talked about and some of those guys in the middle of the field that we don't always talk about, always winning a tournament, trying to get to that playoffs. J.J. Henry was talking about, like, wow, this is as much pressure as when he was at tour school, when he was trying to make it a Ryder Cup team. There is an awful lot of pressure that people sometimes don't appreciate at this Wyndham Championship, isn't there?
Yeah, that's a great point, Tim. And of course, Martin Flores, he only needed a hole-in-one on a par three to get into that top 125. Rory Sabatini, who had a neck operation earlier in the year, multi-winner on the PGA Tour, he got back in. It really took on the feel of watching two different tournaments, which I really appreciated. We watched Stenson trying to win the title, his first one since he won the Open at Royal Troon. But number two, the guys, as you pointed out, Tim, battling for a place to play next year. And it was compelling drama. The golf was excellent. There were birdies and eagles everywhere. And that's just really a great event. It probably doesn't even get the credit that it deserves on the overall schedule, but they do such a wonderful job down there. The galleries were big, the golf was compelling, and congratulations to all those guys that made it into the top 125. And Ollie Snyderjams came so close of adding another victory. He's in that high school class of 2011 that has yet to blossom, but you know, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, yeah, all those guys. Ollie's right in that group.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, phenomenal player. I mean, really talented player. And again, the names of guys who didn't make it, sometimes a bit surprising. Sam Saunders, the grandson of Arnold Palmer, barely outside. He finished at 129. But names that we're all very familiar with: Ryan Palmer did not make it in. Ryan Palmer finishes at 134. Graham McDowell at 136. Jim Furyk also finished below the 125 number. So a number of golfers that, surprisingly, that we see this a youth movement, some of the veteran guys having a hard time getting into that 125. But it put on a whole, as you said, a whole new finish to it. Martin Flores gets a hole-in-one on 16. I believe he also had a nice birdie putt on 18. So Martin Flores was trying to get in. He finished. He started at 139, finished at 118, and shot a final round 63. So that's pressure. I mean, think about that, Frank. You're trying to get in to the playoffs and keep your career going, your card, everything else is on the line, and you come through with a 63 for a Martin Flores. That's some clutch playing.
That's clutch playing and 100-degree, basically 100-degree, feels like temperature also. I mean, it was tough and hot there. You saw that when Ollie, you know, got excited when he made that long birdie, and he shook his head back and sweat went everywhere. He was soaking
like
wet.
A professional boxer or something.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so it was hot.
That's a hot part of the country this time of year. But what a great golf course and great country club, great history. I mean, that's a neat place. Congratulations to everybody who made it in. I'm looking forward to the FedEx Cup playoffs and then the FedEx Cup. Now, you'll be at the BMW, right, Tim?
Yeah, I'll be at the BMW, which will be coming up in a couple of weeks. That they'll be out in the suburban Chicago area. Which tournaments are you going to for the FedEx Cup playoffs, Bob?
Well, our schedule hasn't been completed yet. I mean, every one of them is open. We have a medical situation in that the miles have finally worn away one of Janice's knees, so we have to get one of those replaced. So we're waiting to see what the surgeon says, and that'll kind of mandate how much we can do in person, but we'll be there. One other note about Graham McDowell, guys. You know, he still has his card by virtue of that victory 2 years ago. So he doesn't lose his playing privileges. And a note about the guys that finished outside that 125. There is that category, as you guys both know, 125 to 150.
Right.
It doesn't give you full exemption, but it allows you to get into a significant number of events.
Right.
And if you play really well in those events, when the reshuffle comes, then you'll be all right. But certainly a lot of pressure playing for your job. And congratulations to everyone that performed so beautifully on Sunday. It really was incredible to watch.
Yeah,
there was a lot of drama, a lot of fun watching those guys as well, because it was a number of guys that we don't normally talk about. It wasn't Rory, and it wasn't Justin, it wasn't Jason Day and Dustin John. All those guys, they weren't there. So it was guys that were trying to get in there to try to either certainly win a tournament, but also get into the top 125, or as you said, in the 150. By the way, Frank, I don't know if you kept an eye on our good friend Stephen Bowditch. Made the cut. He's been struggling for the last couple of years.
I did.
Opened with a 68-66. He kind of struggled on Saturday and Sunday, 73-70, but he picked up a check, finished 3-under, and so maybe things are on the upswing for Stephen Bowditch. We talked to him last fall at Jordan Spieth's charity event here in the Dallas area, and good guy. And
great guy.
Good to see him come
back.
Yeah,
congratulations,
yeah.
Stephen. Keep it up, buddy. And we want to see you back out there and playing a lot. And enjoy being around him. He's a fun guy to be around. And Ryan Palmer, who was there also with us, is a lot of fun to be around. my buddy who likes to play very loud country music as he rides around in his golf cart. Well, that's my kind of guy. So
that's your kind of guy?
Yeah, man.
Hey, Bob, it looks like Rory, who certainly had a phenomenal run during the FedEx Cup playoffs last year, looks like Rory may be, it's not official, shutting it down, and we won't see him again until 2018 is what they're saying. What are you thinking about that? Is Rory dangerously going down the same Tiger Woods physical fitness road that is going to cause him to have issues like he's having right now, even though he's only 26 years old?
Timmy, I think I got some good news for all of Rory McIlroy fans coming out of Northern Ireland. It's pretty much confirmed that he's starting to feel a lot better and good. That he's going to participate in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Now, whether it's one of two things, and I know which one would motivate me, and I know which one would motivate Frank, but he's either being motivated by the fact that he's feeling well, or he's being motivated by the fact that $10 million he won last year starting to look pretty good. Why not give it another go? Maybe I can double that. But I think Rory McIlroy is going to be part of the playoffs, and I think that's great news.
That is surprising. Yeah,
that's great news. Matter of fact, I'm sure that he'll have I just looked it up. He's got an interview scheduled tomorrow at 12:30. So
nice. Well,
all indications are that he's going to give it a go. And he just adds to the playoffs. You always like to have the defending champion. Plus, the popularity of Rory McIlroy. And his ability to play the game.
Sure.
I'm preaching to the choir when I'm talking to you two about the talents of Rory McIlroy. I mean, he's simply, maybe the best player in the world. I mean, that's how good he is. Certainly this year was not a stellar year for Rory McIlroy. A lot of that, due to injury, which he has been injury plagued, despite the fact being such a young man. But I'm happy to report that Rory McIlroy is going to be part of the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, we've done a lot of shows talking about those injuries and how they occur. And being in the gym, and Art Salinger told us this the other day, former long drive champion, and Bob, you know Art. He said, you don't need to lift weights to play this game properly. You just don't. It's just silly. Yeah. You don't need to be trying to, clean and jerk. So, and Rory does it. He's going down the path that Tiger went down and several others.
Jason Day, but
Troy Van Beezen, who is the strength and fitness and chiropractor or whatever, I'm sorry, for the tour, but also for Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Ricky and on, none of his players get injured. There's some magic there, and we talked about that in a previous show. I just wanted to get your thoughts, Bob, on what Lee Trevino said about there may not be a Champions Tour or a PGA Tour Champions in the future because one or two reasons. One, maybe they don't need the money. But number two, because they're straightening that left leg at follow-through to get the extra power, and they're just torquing the heck out of their torso, their hips, their lower back.
Yeah, it's fascinating that you asked that question, Frank, because last night I was watching the gymnastics competition. And a thought came into my head. I said, boy, that's the prototype for a golfer. Give me a great gymnast that is that flexible and then teach him the golf swing. Man, they shoot right up to the top, of the level of competition. I mean, it's amazing the athletic moves that those gymnasts have to make and how much they can bend and twist and turn. I think it's a natural marriage into the sport of golf. I don't know of anyone that's ever tried that yet, but that could be something we'll have an eye on in the future.
Well, it's kind of like when they used to teach ballet to NFL players. Remember that, Tim and Bob?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
sure.
Yeah, there was a couple of NFL players in my class. I remember that.
You and Janice.
You still have toe shoes and the pink tutu, right? Hey, give our best to Janice, by the way, on her knee issue. And hopefully I'll be at the Tour Championship in Atlanta at Eastlake, and hopefully you and Janice will be there so we can do some shows together.
Well, we're certainly going to make every endeavor to do that. I mean, you know, nowadays, first you have to have all these discussions with your doctor, okay? And then you have to have discussions with your insurance company.
Oh, boy.
And quite often they don't agree. So it's a lot harder nowadays to get medical attention. It's just crazy. But hopefully everything will work out. We definitely want to be at the President's Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Up in New Jersey at the end. So we'll wait and see how the rehab goes for Janice. And, you know, we'll plug everything in. You guys know if it's at all possible, we're going to be there.
Yeah. Well, it won't be the same if you're not there. But hopefully everything will work out well. And you'll be on the road. Again, we're talking with Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio, and brought to us by Frank.
Vertical Groove, vertgolf.com, the Vertical Groove Driver. I'm looking at mine sitting right here in a golf bag in the studio. So it's right there. Really cool.
Right
it's,
there.
It's right here. Roger left town, and he didn't take it.
He sleeps with it. Yeah, it's right there. Frank's got it with him at all times.
He beat me with it.
Vertical Group. By the way, the FedEx Cup playoffs begin next week or this week coming up. The Northern Trust will be the first one in Old Westbury, New York. Bob, that's your part of the country. Is that Old Westbury a suburb outside of New York City?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's quite a ways outside of New York City, like 40, 50 miles. But it's also a golf course where a close personal friend was the head pro there for well over 20 years, 25 years, a member of the Joyce family, a very talented family. His name is Tom Joyce, the head professional. His brother Bob Joyce was the head professional out in Southampton, New York. His other brother, Mike Joyce, was a winner on the Champions Tour. And the fourth brother was Kevin Joyce, who played on the U.S. Olympic team. He was involved in that fiasco with Russia where they had four or five endings to the game
basketball.
Until it turned out the right way. And then he played in the NBA. And Bob was closest to me. He's been one of my best friends for 50 years, and I never let him off the hook. You can tell the amount of talent with those three other guys. Bob has the least amount of talent, and they said they never fought. The only time they had any arguments is when they went down to the basketball court. The argument would be who had to play with Bob.
Their biggest argument. So that was the Northern Trust. The next tournament will be the Dell Technologies Championship, TPC Boston. Great course in Norton, Massachusetts, outside, kind of between Providence and Boston. Then, of course, the BMW. I'll be at that one at Conway Farms in suburban Chicago in Lake Forest, Illinois. Then the Tour Championship, where Frank will be at Eastlake Golf Club in Atlanta, and it all wraps up. Again, Rory, the defending champion. Rory won not only the Tour Championship, he also won the Dell Technologies and, of course, the FedEx Cup big pot of gold. So it was a really good couple of weeks for Rory McIlroy last year. And as we just found out from Bob, that the injuries apparently aren't as serious as we were being told, and certainly that I've been reading. So that's good news that that he gets out there. I just hope that some of the same issues with Tiger were not so much the injuries; it was coming back too soon, right? And being injured but not giving himself enough time to reheal and come back and play. Hopefully Rory is fine. He's not going to injure himself even worse by coming back too quickly. I love watching Rory play, and you're right. Every tournament is so much more exciting with Rory in the field and giving it a shot. We've talked about this, and we haven't really seen an awful lot of it. It would be great during these playoffs to see, coming down in the final holes of any of these tournaments, the Dustin Johnsons and Jordan and Rory, the top guys, coming down and facing each other. We just haven't seen a lot of it head-to-head so far in the last couple of years, like the old days with Nicklaus and Trevino and Watson. Seems like in most major tournaments or big tournaments, those guys were always kind of going head-to-head. It would be nice to see these guys all be there together and playing. And then, of course, the President's Cup, kind of finalizing everything. That'll be at Liberty National in Jersey City, and that's at the end of September. The President's Cup, the rest of the world, if you will, against the United States. So, boy, it seems like, Frank, that just when things are kind of calming down and we get to the Wyndham Championship and everybody's like, oh, there you go, kind of the end.
Boom.
It's not the end of the season.
No.
It's the playoffs.
It hits another gear, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's going to be exciting, though. I mean, the playoffs are always great. And the President's Cup, I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. That's I love the Ryder Cup, of course, last year that we did in Chaska, Minnesota. What a fabulous time we had at that, and the excitement was overwhelming. But now this one, this President's Cup, is going to be really special. It'll be at Liberty National, so the views are incredible. And, Bob, you know that golf course. You're from that neck of the woods, or at least up on Long Island. But what? Tell us a little bit about that course.
Well, one of the main attractions is on so many of the holes, you look at your target, but your eyes are distracted because you're seeing the Statue of Liberty. I mean, it's just a remarkable thing. You're standing on a tee, or you're standing in the middle of the fairway, and there's the Statue of Liberty as the backdrop.
Wow.
Ticket sales, I hear, have been outstanding. It's really going to be an exciting event. Anytime you get involved in that metropolitan area, the number of people that you know, the tournament has access to is incredible. And I think this one's going to be a real competitive affair. And that's the main thing in these. I enjoyed the Solheim Cup, but it seemed to be a one-sided fight for too much of it, and I think the United States is too strong for the European side right now, and it's kind of ironic because you can't help but think that if the United States was playing a team from Asia, it would be lopsided too, but it'd be lopsided in the favor of Asia. So
there's
a wide variety of talent distributed around the globe.
We've never lost a President's Cup, have we?
Not yet.
Hey, let's talk about match play golf for just a minute. You know, one person who stood out yesterday to me in the Solheim Cup was Lexi Thompson. Yeah. I mean, what a comeback. She goes four down in the first four holes and comes back to have that match. That had to be an emotional roller coaster and just pure, just bear down and get it done. And she did, so congratulations to her for coming back in that match. That was pretty incredible stuff.
She was playing Anna Nordqvist on the European team, and Anna had her, it seemed like. And Lexi holds out on, what was that, 17, 16 or 17? She holds out from the fairway. She made some long birdie putts. So she came back and a very dramatic come from behind.
Very much.
Now, again, the U.S. won fairly handily, 16.5 to 11.5 points, but that was a big momentum boost for the United States team to see Lexi Thompson doing what she did. Great crowds there, too. And you got to be proud of that. In Des Moines, Iowa, some really good crowds there to see the Solheim Cup and see the women's golf. By the way, Bob, they were talking during the broadcast, and I've read about it, too. They've had some struggles on the Ladies European Tour, the LET, if you will, and both the ladies on the European Tour as well as the U.S. LPGA Tour during the Solheim Cup were trying to show support. Do we know any background there? Do we know what some of the issues are with the European Ladies Tour? Or they just had trouble with sponsorships, or what is it that they're struggling with?
Well, you touched on the main problem, Tim, is sponsorships seem to be hard to come by. The limited number of playing opportunities. There's a lot of talk going on now that the LPGA Tour may step in and be supportive of the LET. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, we can't let golf go away from Europe. And, you know, the next Solheim Cup scheduled for Scotland. There's already some sentiment being expressed that maybe we should have Annika Sørenstam come back as captain. She deserves to win one. But then others are saying Katrina Mathew, who pitched in, was only supposed to be an assistant captain for this Solheim Cup, but then due to an injury, she got inserted into the lineup, played really well for somebody that's going to be 48 in just a short while, that she's the natural captain for Scotland. So we'll have to wait and see. It's not a bright picture right now, but I know this much. If Michael Wan has an opportunity to get his hands involved in it, he'll figure out a way to turn it around. I mean, just look at the difference in the LPGA Tour from when Mike Wan came aboard to where it is now. It's globally, it's a huge, huge, you know, sporting event, no matter where they go, and the excitement levels are extremely high, and he's done a marvelous job. Not enough can be said about what Mike Wann has done for the LPGA Tour. So we'll have to wait and see. It's the waters are a little murky right now, guys, but they'll sort it out, and hopefully everything will come out okay.
Yeah, I think
we talked about the young golfers in the world and the great ones we're seeing. We were talking about Ollie Snederjans being from the class of 2011. Also, so much golf going on. I want to congratulate Clemson sophomore Doc Redman, caught and beat in extra holes University of Texas senior Doug Ginn to win the U.S. Amateur, and so that was a pretty significant thing for the young golfers out there. And because of that, Redmond now gets full exemption into the 2018 U.S. Open, the next 10 U.S. Amateurs, and an invitation to the Masters along with Gims. So a lot of drama there as well. And we'll probably just remember those names. Gim is G-H-I-M. And Doc, that's his given name. It's not a nickname. Doc Redmond from Clemson. And one of the lowest seeds to ever win the U.S. Amateur. We'll be hearing those names probably in a week or two, as good as these young guys get into golf. Have you ever seen anything like this as far as an era, if you will, Bob, where so many good young golfers, let's say under 25 even, the John Rahms come out of nowhere seemingly, and then, bam, they're top 10. Have you seen this happen in the last 20, 25 years, or is this pretty unique?
Well, this is pretty unique, Tim. And I think it's really the Tiger effect. The major difference, as I see it, 10, 15 years ago, the best athlete in high school almost assuredly would be a football player, a basketball player, or a baseball player. You would never see the top athlete playing golf. Tiger makes it cool. Tiger makes it popular. And then these young guys start hearing what their parents are saying, hey, you can get beat up in football for a few years, or if you're lucky, you'll make it in baseball, and if you're not a giant, maybe you don't want to think about basketball. Hey, why not think about golf? You travel to nice places, you're associated with nice people, it's a sport that's going to last you a lifetime, and I think now we're seeing the fruit coming to light of these great athletes that switch to golf and are choosing golf as their primary sport. And for that reason, they're better and better and younger and younger. And it's exciting. And the major difference, if you want to sum it up in a word, when I first started, players would come onto the PGA Tour and it was accepted that it was a learning process. You had to learn how to play on the PGA Tour and learn where the golf courses are and learn where your hotel is. Now they have people doing all of that for them. Hey, don't forget, just a perfect example of it wasn't automatic for a long time. When Arnold Palmer came onto the tour in the 50s, he was on probation. Any money that he won in tournaments for his first 6 months, he couldn't get paid. It was just probation. Now we've gravitated to where a guy starting in his first event has at least an outside shot of winning it. So that's how much it's turned around.
Yeah, it has changed dramatically, and the players are so good, so young, that it seems like they're almost, I don't want to say over the hill at mid-30s, but at a time when they used to be peaking and really catching their stride. It's hard to imagine the Jordan Spieth and Day and Justin Thomas when they're 35 years old. Where are they going to be? Will they still keep their interest?
Don't you think, though, Tim, with the junior tournament circuit like the AJGA, things of that nature, that they've played so many competitive rounds by the time they reach college. College just hones that skill that much further, and then they're ready to go.
No, I think you're absolutely right, Frank. The junior tournaments have gotten bigger, more competitive, more participants, and that makes them a better rounded player than they go to collegiate golf, which really has exploded. There used to be a few key programs around the country. Now there are, 50, 60, 70 opportunities to go to college and play some very competitive golf. And when they come out, as you said, Frank, they got the green light special. They're not going to hang around and wait. They're convinced that they're good enough to win when they first start playing. And that's a marvelous attitude. There's no better attitude to have when you're playing this tough sport.
The number one, the winningest NCAA golf team of all time. You want to guess?
Who?
Or do you know?
Oh, do I want to guess? I'm going to say Houston. We're going to go back to Houston. Where they
Bob knows.
They I'm not going. They've kind of not been lately, but
Yale.
Bob knows, but he's not saying
Yale. Really? Yale. It's Yale.
I was kind of going to think Ivy.
Isn't it Yale, Bob? Because that's the oldest, one of the oldest golf programs in this country.
I think it is Yale, and I know when I was at Harvard, they used to beat us like a drum.
You're right. When I was at Princeton, we had a hard time with those guys, those Yaleys.
Well, when I was at Ole Miss, boys, we played golf. We had the 2 6-pack rule. You couldn't tee it off until you had 2 6-pack. So there.
Hey, Bob, before we let you go here, what are you going to do for the eclipse? You got your special sunglasses and everything to watch?
I think I'm going to take the precautious route and watch it on television as I can watch it all across the country. But before we leave, I just want to congratulate John Daly finishing third yesterday in that Champions event. Obviously using that vertical groove driver, a victory already this year. Now a third place finish. Big John's getting this game back in shape. Way to go, Big John.
Yeah, hey, Bob, by the way, you gave away a vertical groove driver in your latest contest. You still remember who the winner was of that one?
No, I don't remember because Janice handles that. But let's see. I think his name is Claude Bowen.
Claude Bowen.
Bowen.
Here's the deal. That's the name that Roger goes under when he enters contests.
Really?
No, I'm
That's
kidding.
That's the name I told my brother to use.
Claude Bowen. Well, I have mine, vertgolf, vertgolf.com. Check it out. I love mine. Yeah. It's an incredible piece of gear. I should have never loaned it to my good friend so he could beat me.
Daly did play well, by the way. You're talking about the Dick's Sporting Goods Open final round 66. Is Kenny Perry also a vert groove?
Yes.
Yes, he is, and he had a top 10 finish.
Kenny finished at 10 under. He was
pretty impressive.
Yeah, so those guys.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, Bob.
Bob, we always appreciate
it. Have a great day. Stay safe. Don't look at the
sun.
Okay. Can't trust Bob. Can't
Bob's the best.
You can't look at the sun. We got to tell people, Bob's, just so you know, if you're listening to this and it hasn't happened for your area yet or in the day of the total eclipse, don't look at the sun with your bare eyes. You think you can because it's dark, but it'll hurt your retina.
Bob reminds me of the interview with Steve Spurrier. All right, boys, can't answer that question. Got to go.
Got to go.
Got to go.
Got a tee time.
Got a tee time. Got to go. Got to tee it up. Got to tee it up, yeah. No, this town, like I said earlier, is absolutely crazy. How much fun would it be to be on the golf course today as the total eclipse hits and just stop?
You were telling us about the piece of property, or lady has some property, was renting little spot, parking spots, basically at what, $1,000 a piece?
$1,500 a piece, and I think she's now rented over 1,000 now.
Is that right? Wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just for people to park their car.
$1.5 million cash money.
I think I would just park my car anywhere in a street. I mean, it's not like you have to be in a, but anyway, good for her.
Yeah.
Somehow, people are crazy about this eclipse.
They really are.
When we have more time, it's going right through my old college town, which is Carbondale, Illinois. I went to Southern Illinois, and that is right in line before it gets to Nashville, as far as the totality of it, the 100% goes on a line right through Carbondale. So it's rejuvenated and done a lot of things. Same thing, people pumping money and people want to live in or be in Carbondale all weekend to experience this. But since I went to, this is a long story I'm going to tell you here, but since I went to Southern Illinois, I, of course, am highly educated. It's the Harvard of the Midwest. I'm going to relay the story at some point how the eclipse plays into Albert Einstein theory of relativity. You probably don't know that, but an eclipse plays a huge role in his theory of relativity. And I'll explain that at a different time.
A different show, but road. Yes. And I've heard that, but I don't know why.
The reason I know that, too, is I actually took a psychology class from a former friend of Albert Einstein.
God, somebody play the music.
Also,
are you serious?
From Germany. I seriously did, yeah. He told great stories about Einstein. He was an old man at that time. This was back in the early 80s, and at that time he was probably 80. So he knew Albert Einstein. He had a very thick German accent when he talked to
us. Wow. That's pretty cool.
So anyway, I've got a little Einstein connection there. What do we got more time? I'll tell you how that connects to the total eclipse. There you go.
That'll be in an encore presentation of the Eclipse Show.
People cannot wait for that one.
I think, I don't know what we're going to title today's show, but it's probably going to be Into the Darkness and Never Escaping.
Yeah, never came out of it. Wandering through the darkness with three blind men.
Hey,
yes, that was us.
Been a great season so far. Now we're in the playoffs. Here we go. Here we go. Get ready for the roller coaster. Cannot wait. It's going to be a blast. And we'll be, Bob will be back with us more too, as well as the usual cast of characters we have here on Golf Talk America. So might even bring in Zucchino again, just for
a crazy Canadian.
Yeah, exactly.
Slant on things.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, play the music. Let's get out of here. Let's do this.
Music?
Let's go look at the eclipse.
I got to go look at the sun, maybe.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to wear those glasses?
Nah.
Okay.
Check it out.
Right. Ow, that hurts.
Should be fine for you. Hey, for Bob Bupka, I'm Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Thanks so much, everybody, for being with us. And please join us next time when we try to conclude everything and draw to a little bit better perspective on Golf Talk America. We love each and every one of you. We'll see you next time. Take care.